That's different, but don't be put off by the folks. They mean well. All right, take your Bible, if you would, please. And if you'd like to stand, I'm just going to read you a couple of verses here this morning and use for a text, a principle, a thought, an idea that all of us need to be reminded about. Kendall, are you going to be okay with that next week? I'm putting you on the spot. It's going to be cold. You want to think about it? Okay, let me know. All right. She's wanting to get baptized, but I don't have a heater up here. But she's fixing to go away to college. Chief Mann asked me if when I put her under, if I could hold her just a little extra. She's already saved. She's not getting saved, getting baptized to be saved. But him and Amy got together and they said, "Preacher, now if she does want you to get baptized, if you could just hold her for a little while and let her know that's what's going to happen if she messes up in school." So I'm taking special requests like that pretty regularly. I wish I'd have held some of you under a little longer. Just kidding. Foolish jesting. All right, look in verse number 1. Numbers chapter number 20. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. That's in your Old Testament. Not read very much because it's got a lot of things in it that have to do with the law. But it's a wonderful story of different things that transpire and take place after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt over there. And it's a great picture of human nature. As a matter of fact, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "No temptation taking of such common a man, the Lord will with the temptation provide for you a way of escape." But in 1 Corinthians 10, you know what he also talks about? He also talks about that you're not to be as the children of Israel were when they found themselves in this position. So what the Lord does is he oftentimes uses individuals' failures to teach us things so that we don't have to fail ourselves. One of the greatest teachers in life is failure itself, but it doesn't always have to be your own failure. That's sometimes a hard schoolmaster. Sometimes the best thing is for other people to have failed and you heed the advice and say, "I wouldn't go down that road," and it'll keep you from messing up like they messed up. Take advantage of that. There's nothing wrong with learning from those things. But notice what he says in verse number 1, "Came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin. In the first month, the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there." I'd just like to say this, the desert's a great place to die. It'll kill you. You say, why? Because it's dry, and it's dirty, and it's dusty. There's 4 D's. One of you guys can come up with a message on that. But you get in the desert, you know what happens? You're running without water, and before long, you get dehydrated. And before long, you're acting out of sorts and doing things you got no business doing. Notice what happens, verse number 2, "And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses, argued with him, fussed with him, screamed at him, hollered at him, and spake, saying, 'Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, out in the wilderness, out in Egypt.'" You see what happens when you get dehydrated, you lose your mind, start talking stupid. Wish we were dead instead of being here. Well, I don't know that you really feel that way about it. "And the people choked with Moses," he said. Then verse number 4, "And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? And wherefore have you made to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door and went back to the Egypt and said, "I'll see you later. I don't want nothing to do with you wicked, stiff-necked people anymore." No, they took the problem to the Lord. They went to church. They went to the tabernacle. You know what they did? They went down and the Bible says they fell on their face and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. All right, Brother Larry, take us to the throne room, would you please?
Thank you, Lord, for being here. Another time to be in church this morning. Thank you for safety, even in arrival, Lord, and being able to get here this morning. Thank you for this place. And thank you, after these many years, Lord, decades, God, we're still having church. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us this morning, even through the song service. Thank you for the large group of young people we have.
Amen. Amen.
Young people lending their talents to the Lord and trying to be used with you. We thank you for that, for it helps us, Lord. It stirs us up, and we give you the glory for that. Thank you for using them. And I pray, God, as well for camp, this, as we could mention that, Lord, for just bless the camp, bless the men that will preach, bless the messages, Lord, and be with the hearts of the young people and adults alike. We ask for help for this meeting. Be with preacher. Fill him up this morning. Use him one more time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. A real simple lesson here. Just a few things I'd like to point out. And I realize we have a funeral and a lot of things to do. We'll try to get you fed up and get you back here for the funeral. But if you just give me your attention for just a few minutes, because one of the things that transpires here in looking at the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, I say this, God's chosen people, they're referred to as the elect over in Matthew chapter 24. You're not the elect. You're the saved. You're the bride. You're the children of God that belong to God. But you're the bride of Christ. You're not the four winds of the elect that are blown in from this direction and that direction. You're not the elect when it comes to the Lord. I guess you could say you're elected once you got in, but that's a Calvinistic stuff that has to do with the nation of Israel. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You're in Christ by your own choosing. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every man, all men everywhere, to be saved. If you don't accept Him, then it's your choice not to get in on that. That's how you get saved nowadays. You have to admit you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess Him as your Savior. You all already know that. There's no election or predestination or preformed as far as your salvation. Now, once you get saved, you are promised or predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's not to be predestinated to be saved. That is simply to say to you that after you get saved, God wants you to change into His image, to put off the old man, put on the new man. But what you have to recognize is even if you fail doing that, when you get to heaven, you'll have the image of Christ. The image of Christ also comes with the mind of Christ. It also comes with being up there in the place where Christ dwells. It comes with the fact that you'll never sin again and never mess up. But don't be lazy in your fellowship with the Lord when it comes to that. And these people have been out there wandering around the wilderness. They had the same opportunity earlier and they failed that test. And Moses went out and hit the rock there, struck the water, and the water came out and so on and so forth. And God had provided for these people for a long period of time. But as time marches on, as things happen, ladies and gentlemen, guess what happened? The brook dried up. It happened to Elijah. He was down there and all of a sudden one day he went to get a drink of water and the brook dried up. Sometimes when the brook dries up, it means it's time to move positions. But better still, it's better to change positions from being standing up and shaking your fist in the face of God and saying, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that, to find yourself prostrate before God and say, Lord, we need some help here. And Lord, it's not about us, it's about You. Notice that when they were making all their complaints, God didn't show up. God showed up to those that were broken and humble and a contrite spirit, and they fell before the Lord and they brought their request before the Lord. And the Bible says, and the glory of the Lord came down there. You say, why? Because they realized the problem was bigger than they could solve. And what you find here in this passage is that the people started recognizing that they were out of water. And when you get in dehydrated, you know what happens? You'll start picking on everybody around you. And all of a sudden, the people that have been the ones providing for you, now all of a sudden they become your enemy. Moses and Aaron had not done anything to harm the people, but they can't blame God, so they blame Moses and Aaron here. And they say, we don't have any water, we're about to dry up here. And when you get dehydrated, even though they promises in Isaiah, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. But the first response has to be, at least it bothered them that they were thirsty. Spiritually speaking, can I change gears for a second? Does it bother you when you get dried out? That old preacher Percy Ray used to preach. You've heard me use the illustration many times. He used to preach about those old pitcher pumps. And nowadays, I guess I have to explain that. I tried to find one, but I can only find the old ones, and they're all rusted up. But that pitcher pump had a handle on it, and it had a little spout out there this way at the end of that. And when you'd pump that little pitcher pump, and either a flat rock or a brick or sometimes a board that was there that gathered the moss and run down into a trough, and you'd pump that thing, and if you pump long enough, eventually you'll hear it grab suction. And then once you get that stuff coming and all of a sudden it catches prime and that water will start to run out there. Now, you got to be careful when that water first starts running. You say, why? Everything that's been in that pipe since the last time it was pumped is going to come out. One of the great things is to recognize that once you realize that you're dehydrated, when the water starts running again, sometimes it flushes out a lot of filth. Sometimes it flushes out a lot of dirt. Sometimes it flushes out bitterness and anger and wrath. And sometimes it flushes out filthiness of the flesh and filthiness of the spirit. I mean, when good, clear, clean water starts running, it has a tendency, if it runs long enough, even without soap, you know what'll happen? It'll wash you from the inside out. That old preacher used to say, he had an old gravelly voice because he couldn't, they didn't have microphones and stuff in the early days of preaching. And he would talk about the people out there and he would tell them their flap was dry. And what that is back in those days, they didn't have rubber and inner tubes and different things like that. There's a flap inside that pipe. And what happens is after it pumps, that pipe, that flap sucks down on that pipe and it almost glues itself to that pipe until you pump it again. And then it comes up and the water comes and it actually holds water in the pipe. You say, why is that important? As long as that pipe stays full, there's less chance for bad things to get in there. As long as the pipe stays full, there's less chance for bad things to get in there. It's important for you to get that. You say, that's old time stuff. Yeah, but it's good stuff. Amen. And what happens is after a period of time, if that pump's not continually pumped, that water, that flap can't stay wet. And when it can't stay wet, it begins to sort of draw up. You ever seen leather? You ever had leather, good leather boots or something with leather boot straps? And you walk through a swamp or you walk through a mud hole or you've been in a bad rainstorm or something, and then you get ready to put them on the next day and those leather shoestrings have dried up and they're almost too short to make the bow. That's what happens to leather. That leather begins to draw up. And then when it begins to draw up, it creates little crevices and uneven places where not only can things get in, but the pipe loses its prime. It doesn't have the ability to draw water right away. It's going to require some effort. And you know what you can do? You can go over there to that pump when that thing's dried out like that, and you can pump that thing till the cows come home, but all it's going to do is do what they used to call suck air. And you can hear that thing. It sounds like a wind-sucking mule. It'll do that all the time. And you keep pumping, you're thinking, it's going to come up any moment now. You know what I see a lot of Christians do? I see a lot of Christians that are dehydrated, but because they haven't taken the time to properly wet that flap and prime that pump, they're just sitting there just constantly just working at it, working at it, and working at it, and it's going to get better, and it's going to get better, and they're working up a sweat, and they're dying of thirst, and they're getting more and more and more dehydrated because they haven't taken the time to realize, you know something? I lost the prime. My flap's dry. You can't be responsible for the water coming up in the well. And you can pump till the cows come home, but unless you do your part to keep that flap sucked down on that pipe, you know what will happen? It'll lose its prime, and before long, if you don't wet that whistle, then guess what will happen? You can pump till the cows come home and the well done gone dry. Preacher Utley used to preach a message years ago. I don't know if he still preaches it or not. He's been preaching for a bajillion years since dinosaurs were on the earth. And he used to preach a message of you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. And it's a great message and it's a great thought. Well, some of us as Christians, we don't miss the water until the well runs dry. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, hey, what's going on now? What's happened now? What's happened? Your flap's dried out. You haven't taken time to properly get that, because until you get that seal on there so that every time you pump, when you pump up, that flap comes up and that water starts up that pipe and then that thing sucks down and that water stays right there. And then you pump it another time or two and that water comes up a little more, and then when you stop for a second, that thing drops back down on there, and eventually, you know what happens? That water comes up and it fills that entire pipe, and then before long, when it catches prime, every time you pump, it'll start running out stuff. If it's an old lead pipe like Pawpaw's used to be, that lead pipe will come down there, and the water, if it first starts running out of there, it's sort of brown. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, it looks like something in the bottom of a porta-johnny or something. It's nasty. It has a smell to it. It stinks. You say, why? It's been sitting down there in the bottom of that well, in the bottom of that pipe, and all it's done is just become just foul smelling. It's bitter water. It smells like sewer water because it's not moving. I know some Christians, there's no water moving through them much. You know what happened? They just sit and sulk all the time, and they're mad all the time, and they're upset all the time. And every time they speak, it's kind of like you can tell there ain't been no water running through that well. Amen. That well hadn't been flushed out in a long time. I remember Paul telling me to go down there. We were plowing. He'd say, go over there and prime that pump up, boy, and get us some water down here to bring out here to where we're working. And then I start to pump like that, and I get ready to put my hand under there. He said, no, keep pumping. Our tendency is, as soon as it catches prime, is to hurry up and get our whistle wet, but you can wind up getting disease from that. You can wind up getting sick, even though that water in there is good. What's in there is contaminated. In the Old Testament, you know what he does? It goes back to a surgical procedure that whenever the doctors and all were doing things from having children to trying to help people that were sick in those days, you know what the Levitical law said? You're to wash your hands through running water. This is for bactericide and bacterial soap and that kind of thing. Just running water does a lot to clean off the things that can create infection for you. I said running water. Our problem is that we're expecting a cup or a barrel or maybe even a bucket or something like that. The Lord said, no, you need to move by the brook where the water's constantly running on a regular basis. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I do know this. I don't know whether or not they say how long you can live without water, but it's not very long, especially when it's hot. We're out there in New Mexico, and these boys were putting on a roof out there and building a building out there and doing all that stuff. And I mean, it's so dry out there. The minute you start to sweat, it's so dry, it literally takes the sweat off your skin. And you think, well, I'm not even sweating. And before long, the bears jumped on you. How many of you know what the bear is? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now we got to stop and talk about the bear. Well, there, you know when a bear catches you, don't you? You can see him when he comes up, right? He starts sneaking up on you. Big old black bear, he'll come up on you. You say, what does that mean? That's doublespeak for when you're out working and all of a sudden the bear catches you. He'll grab a hold of you and you'll pass out and flop around like a chicken, man. You'll think somebody knocked you out, hit you on the button. And the next thing you know, your eyes are rolled back in your head and your tongue's hanging out and you're dumping around doing the chicken and everybody's standing there looking at you. And you say, what happened to you? You got dehydrated and the bear caught you. That's what they call it. So now you know, you can go tell all your friends. I learned in church yesterday about the bear catching you. And they'll look at you like you just looked at me when I told you that. You get to working in a moving van or something like that, or in a hot place where there's no air moving around. And the next thing you know, you wind up getting dehydrated and you kind of feel this shadow coming up. And then all of a sudden there's these little boom, 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 little stars coming around. You're fixing to see the wizard, man. And you say, what's fixing to happen, man? That bear's fixing to catch you. And when he catches you, you're done. You're going to the hospital. You can't drink enough water to get it assimilated quick enough. They're going to have to run it in your veins if they can get one to get in there. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Christians that are in the wilderness and God's been good to you, but it's been a while since you checked the well. I'm saying that he said, use them as an illustration, an ensample. Pay attention. You say, why? All of us. We act out of character sometimes, but you would never pause to think that maybe the problem is maybe we're dehydrated too. Hey, look, I'm on the size of Moses and Aaron. I understand that. But Moses overreacts the wrong way. He gets mad at the people. You ever thought that maybe Moses was dehydrated too? You ever thought that Moses messed up. I confess to you, Moses made a mistake and you have a tendency to side with him. He's the preacher and that kind of thing. You can't blame him for getting frustrated. But sometimes, even while you see dehydration in other people, you don't recognize you're dehydrated also. You got to be able to keep sipping on that water whether you think you need it or not. I know this, and I preached this not long ago, and a nurse backed me up. She's actually a physician's assistant from over in the Panhandle, very, very good friend of ours. And she called, she said, I went through all of my patients. A little certified doctor went through all of her patients. She said, you know, I was surprised, especially in elderly patients, the number of cases that are in there simply because of dehydration. They got all these manifestations of all these other symptoms, of all these other problems, and it took nothing more than a bag of saline solution, and all of a sudden they pop back around and everything's fine. What brought this thing to my mind is last night I came in from the airport and I've been out, you know, doing the stuff I'm supposed to do at camp and preaching and appreciate the prayers and get on the plane yesterday and jump there. And I didn't pay any attention. I've been in air conditioning, walking through airports and stuff like that, enough time to change. And so just make the long walk and enjoy the walk and sit down on the plane, get my bag, get off. And she washes all the clothes and gets all the stuff ready to leave for tomorrow. And I'm sitting there and I came back from the kitchen with a sandwich or something there. And I went to curl my leg up under me and the horse bit corn, boy. I mean, it locked me down, man. I mean, I'm doing the chicken, and she's looking at me. I mean, what is she going to do, you know? So what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Just be quiet. Just, you know, hurt for me, baby. Hurt for me, man. I couldn't get that thing to turn loose for nothing. You say, why? I wasn't even aware I was dehydrated. I wasn't paying attention. When you fly at certain altitudes for long periods of time, the idea of the thought of thirst doesn't even approach you. Can I tell you older folks this? I don't mean old people age-wise. I mean older Christians. You know what happens? You've been at it so long, you don't even realize you're dehydrated until the cramps start. I know that as I get older, they tell me this from a scientific perspective, and doctors have told me this, that the thing that makes you desire to have a drink of water, the thing that's for your thirst, as you age, as you get older, that desire to drink fluids goes away. Now you can put 8 glasses up there and say you need to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Whether you do or don't, that's y'all can decide that. And you can put it up there and they'll drink. Well, I've been drinking water all day long. 1 out of 8 glasses is gone. You say, what is that? It's not just having the water. It's the minerals that water bring to you. Do you know what your blood is made of? You want to increase things as far as that? Not a medical doctor, but you want to increase things. You have to increase volume. You say, how do you do it? You drink water. I went in there and they got this special stuff there that you take when you're eating right kind of stuff. And I didn't eat a whole lot of right kind of things. I'm confessing now before all. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 7 days since my last confession. Oh, help me, Lord. I'll fast for 7 minutes and repent. But you know what happens is you get so busy working and things like that, you don't even realize it's been a while since I just had a glass of water. Been a while since I rested by the fountain of life. David's getting ready to go into battle one time. You know what he does? He looks down there through that place and he sees an old well down there and he said, boy, I remember that place. Boy, I sure would like to have a drink of water from that well. That's the sweetest water I ever had. You know what I know? I know David had been out there for a long time tending those sheep and fighting bears and lions and fighting off all the other kind of stuff. And he remembers the day when he was just about at the end of his life and he got down there and the Lord restored him with a drink out of that well. And a couple of those boys went down there and they said, hey man, the king would like a drink of water. What a silly thing. And they go down and fight through that Philistine garrison and come up there and fight their way back up there. And David gets that water and it means so much to him to have that water and the sacrifice those boys paid to give him that water. He just said, Lord, I don't even deserve to drink this. It's way too valuable. And he poured it out in front of the Lord in honor of those boys that just brought him a drink of water. You know what he says in the tribulation period? He said, if you bring that Jew a cup of cold water in my name, you've done it to the least of these. My brethren, you've done it unto me. I want to be a drink of water to people.
Amen.
I don't want to be a dry desert to them.
Right.
I don't want to be something every time I'm around them, it just blisters them and dries them out. And the next thing you know, they're all getting all shriveled up and dried up. And every time I'm around, I want to learn how to exhort people. I want to learn how to encourage people. I want to learn how to edify people. You say, well, I know how to do the other stuff. That's not a trait that's natural, at least not for me. It's something I have to learn to work at. Good, it gives me something to study. It gives me something to work on. I want to be gracious to people. I want to be kind to people. Don't take this the wrong way. When I say sweet, I don't mean sweet. I want to be sweet to people. You say, what is that? That keeps them cool. It keeps them comfortable. It keeps the well filled up where it needs to be filled up. In this passage here, notice what happened. There was no water and they begin to get onto the people that actually could help them. They get delirious. They get deranged in their way of thinking, and then they start just, they're discontent to the point that now they're just talking discombobulated. There's another D. They're talking crazy. We wish we'd have died for lack of water. But you know what? I look at that and I think to myself, have you ever been that desperate for a drink of water from the fountain of life? Have you ever paused, David? I'm talking to me now. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. Have you ever paused, David, that when all of a sudden you're chiding with somebody and arguing with somebody and fussing with somebody, have you ever thought, David, you might be out of your mind? And you might be the one that's thirsty? You see, dehydrated people think everybody else is the problem. They never think the problem's them. Ever. Are you listening to me? Dehydrated people act crazy. I told you about that elderly woman. I'm positive she's dead and gone now and that kind of thing. I understand that. But I remember her living in that little shotgun house there. Shotgun house, that just simply means you can see from the front door to the back door. And all the houses or the rooms are on the sides over here. And usually there'll be a kitchen over here and then a room over here to eat out of. And then the bedrooms and the bathrooms are on this side. And a lot of times they have a back porch on them. And that woman had been there over there and where she lived. And they picked her up, rescue picked her up and brought her in. And when I got there, man, you never heard such foul language in all your life. She got so bad. I mean, she wasn't big as a minute. She little old bitty things, big around as my pinky, little old tiny things, about 4'10". She'd probably weigh 90 pounds soaking wet. And they had to take leather straps in those days. I don't know what they use now, but they leather strap. And they had her tied to the bed and they had two pieces of cloth around her wrist and had her wrist tied and her legs were with those leather straps on. And I walked in and that woman's screaming and yelling. I mean, she looked like I'm waiting for her head to spin around. I mean, she was just acting crazy. And I thought, you know, give her some kind of drugs or some kind of medicine. Had a real wise doctor there. And before he gave her something to knock her out, before he gave her something that would have calmed her anxiety and all the other kind of stuff and hopped her up on some kind of medicine, I said to him, I said, Doc, do you know what's going on here? And he said, I think so. And he said, but you know something? He said, the reason we called you is she thinks we're trying to help him, but she thinks we're trying to hurt her. So I brought you in here to be a witness to let you know from a law enforcement standpoint, we're not doing anything that we shouldn't be doing. We're just simply trying to help her. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, we're going to hold her still and I'm going to start an IV on her. And I thought, okay. I mean, I'm thinking, just give her a shot. Calm her down, right? Knock her out or something. I mean, isn't that how you normally respond to people acting stupid? Isn't that what you want to do? I'll take you out. You get the head bob going. Right? You think that eliminates the problem? All it does is bruise or batter the person that needs help. He said, we're going to hold her down. Man, they latched hold of that woman. Oh, have mercy. I'm kind of feeling sorry for her. I'm kind of like, hey, man, let her go. You're making her. I mean, she was screaming. This is back so far, they only had curtains in between the rooms. They didn't have these fancy things where you can seal them off and all that. Curtains, man. And I mean, she is flailing around and stuff. And they finally got her down there and they got that thing in and the guy opened the thing and you're watching that thing drip. It's almost running steady, hanging off the pole. And she started getting quieter. And she started getting quieter. By the time that bag got down almost to the bottom of that bag right there, he walked over by the door where I was standing. I was just standing there watching what's going on, you know. And he walked over there and he said, I told you. All of a sudden, they started a second bag and slowed the drip down. And you can see her. She's blinking like she'd have been all on drugs or something. And she's looking around the room. She didn't even know where she was. And I was the only one in a different color of uniform, all of them wearing whites or greens and stuff in there. And so she looked at me and she called me over there. She said, hey, come here. I was like, is she still tied down, you know? And I walked over there. She said, young man. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what have I done? And I said, well, ma'am, they found you at your room over there. Just want to know, you were in a room, it's 90-something degrees outside, and they found you passed out in the hallway. And the doctor said, ask her. And I said, ma'am, just ask you a simple question. The last time you had a drink of water or a bath or something with water? And she said, well, I think it's been a couple of days now, if I remember right. She said, about 3 days, I think. She said, the pump blew up, and my son-in-law is supposed to come fix it, but he ain't been by the house. No good scoundrel. And she said, it's been a while. And the doctor said, he's dehydrated. And then she looks down there at the straps and she said, did I hurt somebody? And tears began to well up. And the doctor said, she's getting hydrated now. I said, what does that mean? He said, one of the signs that you see in dehydration is a lack of tears. Use that one day somewhere. Who would have thought in a pulpit? He said, she's getting hydrated now. She's looking down there at that stuff like that. And I said, can we? He goes, sure. They took those scissors, you know, got the blunt end on the bottom of the thing, kind of flat like that, and the top real sharp. Whoosh, whoosh, you know, cut her loose like that. She shook her hands out there just a little bit that way. Young man, she said. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I said, what can I do for you? Tried to get her where she lived and all the information you're supposed to get there, you know, for the report. And I'm getting all that stuff done and that kind of thing. Young man, she says, yes, ma'am. She says, I would like for you to do me a favor. Yes, ma'am. Anything I can do for you, Grandma? What can I do for you? She said, I want you to find everybody that has seen me act the fool and bring them in here to me. And I said, well, I'll do the best I can. She said, okay, thank you. Just as kind, polite as you can imagine. I mean, entirely changed. You say, what? They didn't give her any medicine. They gave her fluid with minerals in it. Just water. She is dehydrated. Everybody that's after her is trying to hurt her when they're trying to help her. Yes, ma'am, I will. I went out, rescue was, replenishing all the stuff they had and changing the sheets on the gurney there and all that and getting ready to close up the door. And I said, hey, fellas, I asked you a question. Yes, sir. And I said, did y'all bring that elderly woman in here? Yeah, you mean the exorcist woman? I said, that'd be the one. I said, she'd like to see you. And the other one looked at one. I looked at the other and said, I ain't going in there, man. He said, they got her now. We ain't taking her back, you know. And I said, no, she wants to see you. And he said, I don't know about that, boss. And I said, well, come on, let me take you back there. And he walked over there, and she's laying there just as calm as she could possibly be. Looked like a little baby on satin sheets. She's sitting up there laying on that white sheet, and they got it propped up just a little. She's got a little old tiny hands out like that. And those two boys walked in right there. She put her hands together like that. She says, young men, are y'all the ones that brought me from my house? Yes, ma'am, we are. Well, first of all, I want to tell you thank you. I reckon I'd have died in that house if it hadn't been for you. And she said, but now I have to ask you to forgive me because I understand I had some quite unseemly behavior. She said, it's hard to imagine that a Christian woman could talk and do those kinds of things, but I reckon I was out of my mind. No, ma'am, you weren't out of your mind. You were dehydrated. You just lost it because of a lack of fluids. You ever wonder why the Lord, when he comes there in the Genesis chapter number 1, the Lord sitteth upon the flood? Do you ever recognize when he divides the waters from the waters? Have you ever seen how many times that water is a type of the Holy Spirit throughout your Bible on a regular basis? And then he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit and makes it a likeness to water. You say, what happened? I'm not talking about physical water right now. He says in John 17, he said, when you're right with him, out of your belly shall flow rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. That's not physical water like a fire hose coming out of your stomach. That's so much of Jesus in you. So let me ask you a question. Is that running out of you? Or is it the church and the people and the economy, politics, whatever prejudicial view you have now that you didn't have 2 weeks ago until you watched something stupid on the news or whatever it's occupying your brain? Is the river of living water coming out of you? Moses comes over there and the people are screaming and hollering. He doesn't have the sense as a pastor. I got to understand where he's coming from. He figures the problem's the people. And the Lord brought it to him the first time by hitting the stinking rock. And this time he comes around and he's downright mad at the people for acting the fool. And the next thing you know, instead of speaking to the rock, you know what he does? He smacks it. You know, the first thing you have to learn when people are dehydrated, especially if it's you, first of all, it's a good place to go is to go to church. But the second thing is to apply the instructions he tells you to apply, and you need to learn to speak to the rock. And it's new for him. Do you know why? The first time he hit the rock, now he's growing. And now he has to learn to talk to him and to take orders. You say, what is a sign of maturity? What did he do? He went back to what he was comfortable with. He went to church. He laid prostrate before the Lord there. And there's old Aaron laying there next to him. The glory of the Lord comes down. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there. Do you realize sometimes in a dehydrated state that when God tells you to do something, even though you believe what he tells you is true, that because of your dehydrated state, you think God's telling you to do something that doesn't make sense, and you take it upon yourself to do what you want to do instead of what God says to do. That's exactly what Moses did. That's why I think Moses was probably dehydrated himself. But he didn't realize it. Before you get upset with him smacking the rock, I mean, I see people do that on a regular basis. But God doesn't let everybody get away with what he lets you get away with. Sometimes God will call you into question for certain things he doesn't call everybody else into question over. And so they go up there and he gets ready, and these people, and you stiff-necked people and so on and so forth. And the next thing you know, he hits the rock and the Lord pauses right there for a second. The water comes out and the cattle are drinking and the people are drinking, and they're, oh, now all of a sudden they go from chiding with him to praise the Lord, Moses. Glory to God. Thank you, Moses. Sure appreciate it, Moses. I appreciate it. The Lord said, come here, boy. And he says, yes, sir. He said, what did I tell you to do? And he said, well, we got water out of the rock. It's okay to do wrong, get a chance to do right, isn't it? I mean, come on. The people got the water. What's the problem? I mean, I might have tiptoed on the trilateral root word in the Hebrew there, or the Greek or whatever, and maybe I messed that up a little. But I mean, the same outcome, Lord. No, you're dehydrated, son. To think that I justify you doing something wrong to get a chance to do right, it's going to cost you. What's it going to cost me, Lord? You're not going into the promised land. Consequences. You say, why? I would like to just bring to your attention that when you're in a dehydrated state, that you can read what God says to do, but you put your own spin or your own twist on it, and you think what God told you to do, well, it just ain't going to work. It's an indicator that something's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with the words. That requires you to trust and obey. The Lord said, speak. Can I say this? When you get in a dehydrated state, when before you let the water start running, what you have to learn to do is trust what God tells you to do and recognize that, in fact, as you're recognizing everybody else is dehydrated, you might be just as dehydrated as they are. Dehydration is an individual thing. You have to drink individually. You can turn a fire hose on everybody. That ain't going to cure it. You have to have individual take time to drink from the water yourself. Amen. And if you don't do that, you know what happens? You can be in a crowd of people that are hydrated and you can be dehydrated. Amen. You can be in a whole crowd of people that are hydrated. Amen. And sitting right there in DFO. That done fell out. You can drop like a fly. I can't believe y'all haven't heard that. Y'all are so far behind the time, man. That's what we used to call it, DFO. What happened to that DFO, man? Done fell out. That's what you do when the bear gets on you. I've seen them DFO off of a roof and do a nosedive, man, a swan dive, and, you know, pow, hit the ground. It's like, what happened? DFO, man, rolled off the roof. Call rescue. The bag of bones. But listen to me. Just because everybody else around you may be hydrated, when's the last time you had a drink? When's the last time you said, Lord, you know, give me a cup of water? It's interesting that one of the great stories in the Bible, I've preached on it enough times, you probably remember it and remember all the illustrations that go with it and all that. Not because of a preacher, it's just a great story. You remember that woman over there in John chapter number 4? And she comes up there. You know where she meets the Lord? She meets the Lord at a well. You ever studied wells in the Bible? How many times God used a well to hide people and to nurse people and to have people fight and argue over them and contention about wells and wells and wells and water and water and water. Water is a source of life. You can do without food. You can't do without water. Water and air, water and air. About 3 days, they tell me, without water, and about 3 minutes without air, and you're going to DFO. But when's the last time you had a drink? That woman comes over to the well. You know what she's coming to do? She's coming to draw water. Why? You got to have water. You say, why? Not just for your nourishment, not just for hydration, but guess what? You can't take a bath without water. Try to take a bath in sand or dirt. You can't get the sweat washed off of you without. You got to have water. Hygiene. In the day you live right now, you can't flush a toilet without water. You just take that for granted. I said you can't flush a toilet without water. I'm referring to you as the toilet. Some of you didn't pick up on that. It's kind of like, well, yeah, I guess so. I put stuff in the toilet. You put stuff in the toilet, the temple. You can't flush that temple out without water. You need the Word of God in there. You say, why? You say, why? That stuff backs up and it stinks, doesn't it? And before long, you know what will happen? That stuff you're putting in that thing, you know what will happen to it? Eventually, it'll clog up the toilet. And before long, it'll back up. And before long, you go over there and expecting it to be gone, and you hit that thing, and all of a sudden that thing gurgles and burps a couple of times, and that stuff rises to the top, and you can't get the plunger quick enough, and you're walking away and running around on your tiptoes, and it's all of a sudden, and now you're throwing a towel across the threshold to try to keep it from getting into the rug instead of on the tile. Come on. You say, why? You need water to flush the toilet. You ever wonder why you can't get some of the filth out of your life? You don't have enough water. I watch these boys clean these floors around here after they're out here working and stuff like that. I thought to them one day, I'd go get me one of those bottles that they clean the floor with, and I'd pour me some Coca-Cola in there. And of course you think, you know, it's Coca-Cola. They don't know that, so they're thinking they're doing cleaner with it, and they're spraying the floor with Coca-Cola, and it'll shine for a while, and you know what happens? When it dries, the next thing you go over there, and then the ants come in, the roaches come in, they think it's a buffet or a smorgasbord, and they're licking the floor and all that other kind of a stuff. You say, why? You don't wash your floor with Coca-Cola or iced tea. You need water. Water puts out fires. I'm almost done. You say, why? You ever wonder why you get hot so fast? You ever wonder why you burn in your lust so quickly? You ever wonder why the anger gets the better part of you? You hit the rock. You ever wonder why? You need more water. Water keeps you cool. Brother Larry can tell you more about this than I can. I'm not a mechanic or anything like that. And I'm not talking about, I have no idea how an electric car works. I guess it's like a golf a cart, I guess, a battery or whatever. I'm not making light. I don't care what you drive. If I'm walking and you're riding, I'll ride in you. I don't care if it's a golf cart. I'll ride on the back seat of your bicycle. I don't care. Back in the day, I'd ride on the handlebars, man, and put your feet on either side of those two little nubbies sticking out there and, you know, let a guy you can do like that. Beats fire out of walking, man. You run the risk, you break your fool neck. But, I mean, I'll take the ride. I'm not throwing off on your car. I could care less. But I learned this. I learned even though you have a lot of oil in that car, if you don't have water to keep that engine cool, to keep the jackets where those pistons run back and forth in there, and have that thing circulating through that thing with the fan blowing on it and the air coming through there, it isn't air cooled. Your air is cooling the water, and the water is keeping the engine cool. I learned you can overheat real fast if you don't have enough water in the engine. See, there's a lot more to dehydration than people think. Can cause the toilet to back up. It can cause you to act crazy and act nuts. It can cause you to burn and get hot sooner than you should get burned. It's the only thing to cool you off on a hot day. Amen. They've proven it scientifically. You can drink all these drinks and stuff like that. They've got 500 megs of caffeine in it, and it may jack you up and make your eyes go crazy and make your heart pitter-patter and jump around like a chicken and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't resolve the dehydration. As a matter of fact, they tell me, I don't know, again, I'm not a doctor, but they tell me that's a diuretic. So now the water you do have, now you're getting rid of it. But you feel okay because you're jacked up on caffeine. Can I just ask you a question? Let me cut to the chase. Not to the chases, but to the chase. Have you ever considered that maybe, just possibly, that that woman at the well had a lot more in her sermon than we give it credit for? That woman at the well, just give me a couple minutes and tell this quick story, and then we'll go to the barn, okay? That woman comes up there at the well, and there's a man standing there, and it's a Jew, and the Jew's not supposed to have anything to do with those women. Not only that, in the middle of the day, according to Jewish custom, the only people that came to the well in the middle of the day were the bad people. The only people that came to the well were the people that had a background or a history, and who else would go draw water in the heat of the day? That's just stupid. go in the early morning and get the water and go in the evening to have water for the next day. I mean, good night, man. Why would you go out there and it's 100 degrees and no shade or anything else and you're going to the well? That's when the only time those people could find room at the well. Everybody else was there during the popular times. This was an unconvened, unplanned for meeting. And she comes down there with a pot on her shoulder or a pot on her head. And I always paint it up, you know, where she's probably got chartreuse hair, maybe a mohawk. And she got, you know, tats all over from head to toe, got some sleeves and things like that. And got a bunch of pins in her head and different things like that. And piercings and that kind of a deal. Looked like a pincushion walking up there. I mean, that's how you paint sinners. I'm not can't be talking to y'all. You don't have that. That's those bad people that have that. That's how I'd paint her. She wouldn't have on enough clothes to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay. You say why? That's all she had that she thought that she had worth anything. And she comes walking up there, and I'm maybe different than you, good, godly, sanctified people. I think she looks at that man and thinks, I bet I know what he's after. What else would you think if you'd have been passed around by everybody you'd ever had and every man you'd ever been around had used you? You've been with five other men that weren't even your husband. The epitome of a homewrecker. The pinnacle of the temple. And she comes out there and she's got a need. She doesn't even know it. Something's happened to that woman. And the Lord knew something had happened to her. You know why? Because that man said to those apostles after he said, go not of the way of the Gentiles, nor the but only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he's over there saying, I'm going over there to see him. He said, well, wait. You just said not to go over there. He said, I need to go over there. I got an appointment. There's somebody coming to the well that needs me. Somebody coming to the well that needs me. She's thirsty and she don't even know it. You say, what are you doing? I'm quoting right out of the passage. She said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I came to get a drink of water. She said, you ain't got nothing to draw with. And he said, well, you do. I'll tell you what I'll do. If you give me a drink of that water, I'll give you a drink and you'll never thirst again. She said, are you that one? Here she is. She ain't no church going woman. I mean, man, she'd break out in a sweat like, anyway. She'd have a hard time in church on Sunday. And the Lord said, you give me a drink of this physical water, I'll give you a drink. He knew exactly what her problem was. That woman's thirsty. That's why she's acting the fool. He didn't condemn her, throw her under there. You know what he did? He flushed out the pipes. He said, let me ask you something there, sister. Yes, sir, she said. You know what's amazing? She doesn't go, it's none of your business. What business is yours? What I do in my life. She doesn't do any of that. You know what she says? Yes, sir. No, sir. The husband I have, I have a husband. He ain't mine. And the Lord said, well said, sister. Ain't you had five of them? And she goes, yes, sir. Say, what's happening? That prime caught, and all of a sudden that water comes up, and guess what comes out? That filth. That trash. And the Lord says to her, I know what your problem is, sister. Now listen, I'm not making light of her sin. I'm not saying she didn't do wrong. I'm saying who don't know she did wrong? Jesus was there to help the people. The well don't need a doctor. It's the sick. And he's there. The other apostles are in town doing all what they're doing. And he's down there dealing with this woman. And he said, now you think about this for a minute. I know what the problem is. Well, she was abused when she was coming up. This happened. It was her environment. She didn't have a way to make a living and all this other kind of stuff. No, she's thirsty. That's why she's acting the fool. She's acting out of character. You say, why? She needed a drink from the everlasting well, the river of life. Amen. Have you ever paused to think maybe that's your problem? Maybe you're thirsty? I like that song. I think she probably is the author of that song. You know that song that says, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, watch it, and make me whole." You know what that old girl did? She realized, I can't throw it off on the environment. I can't throw it off on these ne'er-do-wells that have been taking advantage of me. The problem's me. I need a drink. You know what I like about that? The story stops after she turns the town out. "Come see a man. Told me everything I ever did." Everything? Everything. "Come see a man. He can help you." Turns out the entire time, and you don't ever hear from her again. You say, why? She quit messing up. She got a drink. It changed her life. It made her different. And she's in the Bible. What's her name? She don't have a name. She's the home wrecker. You'll see her in heaven one day. Who are you? Oh, a lot of people call me home wrecker. What are you doing up here? Oh, I'm thanking the Lord that he wasn't too busy to come by my way. I'm up here around the throne because I appreciate the fact that nobody else wanted to give me a drink. Nobody else wanted to help me. Nobody else wanted to do anything except use me and take advantage of me and those kind of things. But he didn't ask me for anything. Just said, "Give me a drink of some water." And he gave me a drink of water. You know something? I ain't ever been thirsty since then. And the Lord said, "Tell him, sister. I could be wrong about this, and I probably am. And I think when he comes through that triumphal entrance over there, when he comes in, you know when the Bible says the Pharisees came and said, tell him to shut up and tell him to be quiet. And if they don't, the Lord turns to him and says, if they shut up, the very rocks will cry out." Remember that passage? I think that little woman's right there in the crowd. She's got clothes on now. Looks like the devil-possessed man of Gadarene. She's clothed and in her right mind. And she's standing over there, man. She's all fixed up. She's got her a real husband now. That's how I paint it. She's got somebody that loves her and cares for her and watches out for her. She's found happiness and all that. And the Lord comes by on the donkey and he gets ready to put his heels in a little bit. That donkey stops and those ears twitch around just a little bit like that, you know. And he looks down there and the Lord looks and he said, "Oh, hey, I almost didn't recognize you. How are you?" She said, "Oh, I'm doing really good." He said, "Are you thirsty?" "No, sir, ever since you gave me the drink, I've been doing quite well. Would you like to meet my husband?" And he says, "This your husband?" She said, "He's all mine." She said, "Oh, preacher, you're silly." "Okay, well, we'll see." I got a drink when I was 7. I ain't always act like I have. But that well has stayed full from now on. Now I'm going to put a little pressure on you. Would you take the time to bow your head this morning? Would you take the time to close your eyes and you do a self-evaluation and you find out whether or not one of those 3 or 4 things I gave you, if maybe it wouldn't hurt you to come to the well, the waters of life this morning and gather around there and say, "Lord, could I have a drink? I'm going through depression and discouragement." Listen to me as you're coming. You remember when Elijah got found under the juniper tree? Do you remember what you see by his head under the juniper tree? He said, "Well, there's fire there and there's bread there." And all. No, 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 but you missed it. You know what's right there by his head? A cruse of water. Couldn't be that old man got so busy slaying that 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets that served Jezebel's table. It couldn't be maybe he got so busy in his service that he forgot to take a drink of water and he got dehydrated, and before long he's down there under the juniper tree saying, "Lord, it is enough. Just let me die. Don't tell me that the death of a loved one or problems and disease and trouble can't make you just as dry as cracker juice." And the Lord said, "Hey boy, you know what you need? There's a crystal clear water of life flowing and you need a drink.